morning, everybody. It's your program, and therefore directly to the lines we go. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hello, sir.
Hi. Yeah.
What is your first name, and where are you?
Okay, my name is Michael, and I'm from Vancouver, Washington, and I was in the middle of telling you about my story. I was in the shower, and I heard these children
laughing.
Start to laugh.
Yes.
And you know what was weird about it? They waited until I had my head soaked.
Your most vulnerable moment. I know exactly what you're saying. You got suds all over you, and now it gets loud, and there's lots of kids.
And the thing was, it was like it fed on my fear, because my heart started racing, and the more scared I got, the louder it got. And so the only way to deal with it was I started singing. And as soon as I got washed off, man, I was out of there. I ran. It was just quite a experience.
You are the first person who has ever dealt with something like this that I've talked to by singing. What did you sing?
I was just singing some praise tunes that we normally did at church camp.
I've got it. All right. Well, thank you very much. So there you have it. Saved by the song, I guess. It's bothersome to me, and I know to the EVP people that so many of these stories seem to involve the very young, the children. Somehow we just don't want to think that they would have to endure some sort of eternity here on Earth after passing. But actually, it should be said, a disproportionate number of EVPs, and these stories that we're hearing tonight involve young children. The universe just can't be that cruel, can it? Wildcard Line, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you. What is your first name and where are you?
My name is Peggy, and I'm in Rochester, New York.
All right, Peggy.
Well, I've got a real exciting and some tragic information here.
Okay.
In 1977... my ex-husband's wife shot and killed her two children.
Oh my God.
And then killed herself. He and I were the data processing department for a major mail order company in Tucson.
Yes.
And I had known his wife and children because I'd bring my children and my date to play cards with them. And we would just, you know, for hours sit there and have fun. My children would play with his while we played cards.
Yes.
About a year after the tragedy, through sympathizing with him and because I worked with him, I fell in love with him. Mm. We married about a year later, and since his home was larger than mine, me and my children moved into his home.
Sure.
Subsequently, we had two burglaries and then had a burglar alarm installed. He was traveling to Sierra Vista and Fort Huachuca on a weekly basis with his job for the city there, and he'd be gone about 5 days a week, and this went on for months. After we put the burglar alarm on, he was gone, and each night he was gone at exactly 2 a.m.
No later,
our burglar alarm would go off. When responding, the police couldn't find any entry. Even the burglar alarm company had reviewed the system many, many times.
Right.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Arizona. You can have your window open because of your swamp cooler.
Right.
About an inch and a half, 2 inches max.
Right.
And still have your system operational.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, both the police and the alarm company would have it set so that the window was open and try to set that alarm off. It would not go off for them. Now, mind you, while this was going on, each time the alarm went off, I had trained my children to immediately run to my room, lay down next to the bed, and I had a .357 Magnum underneath my pillow that I would point toward the hallway, the bedroom door.
A .357 Magnum.
A .357 Magnum.
Okay.
And I didn't even know how to shoot a gun.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I was so terrified after, this happened Oh, I would say 20, 30 times.
Oh, God. Is it your presumption that these children and this and or this woman who had killed them and then committed suicide was coming back to the house? I mean, is that where we're going here?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because I would hear, when my children were at school, I would hear children's whispering coming from the kids' rooms.
Right.
And I would find things like the flour would be in the refrigerator, the milk would be in the pantry. I would put things down, and I'd turn around to get them, and they weren't there, and I'd go crazy looking for them.
You know,
I think this was the kids kind of playing with
it. Yeah, I've got it. You know, these shows end up scaring me every damn time. This is really doing it for me. Already I see this theme, and here you are again with children, and what a tragedy. Well, did it ever all end, or is this something that's just going on and on?
Well, you know, after months and months of this and the police responding, one of the policemen pulled me aside. And he said, lady, if I were you, I would not spend another night in this house.
Really?
Because he had responded on numerous occasions with this situation. Well, I told my husband, I said, look, it's either me or the house. We bought a home the next day and moved out. The entire 3 years that we were there, it would be 110 degrees in the middle of summer, and my living room, ooh, I get goosebumps and the hair raises on my arms.
So you were driven from the house?
Yes, I was driven from the house. That house would be like an icebox in the middle of summer. Just the one room. And I could always...
I mean, this is something you must have talked over with your husband. Many times. By the end of this, you were both absolutely convinced what was going... Do you think that these spirits stayed with the home when you moved, it all stopped?
No, it did not stop. As a matter of fact, 6 months after we moved out, the new owner telephoned us very late at night, and I would guess around midnight, and he asked my husband if he was the original owner of the home, and we knew exactly why he was asking.
Yeah. I've heard that when you go to sell a house, with the kind of activity that you had, you're actually legally, responsible to tell the person, maybe in California or just some states, I'm not sure, that it is a haunted house.
I don't believe we were at that time.
That may well be. I think you have to now in some places. Anyway, you actually have to tell them it's haunted. That's how serious this is. So is it all resolved now or what?
No, I don't think it's resolved. Something happened subsequent to that. Did you get my email earlier?
I got your email.
Okay. Subsequent to that, in 1985, my daughter ran away from home. And she called me about 2 weeks later and proceeded to tell me that my ex-husband had been molesting her.
Oh, God. It just gets worse and worse and worse.
It was right then and there that all of a sudden it hit me. There was no motive until that moment for this murder-suicide.
Oh,
and
wow.
My feeling is that she was trying to get me out of that house.
Clearly.
Me and my children away from him.
Whew.
I believe she killed her children because she could not leave them with him.
Oh, that's incredible.
And she could not herself deal with the situation emotionally.
Well.
So, I believe that this man has blood on his hands, and I could not get the police department to listen to me on it.
Well, you sure got one to tell you to get the hell out, though. Thank you very, very much for the story. So many of these hauntings seem to have some kind of tragedy, some horrible accident or suicide associated with them. Could it be, of course, we frequently speculate that souls are held here on Earth or in some kind of purgatory when it's something like what was just described. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening, and we've had quite a few incidents happen, and there was one that just happened recently, and it really sort of worried me, but we'd gone through the hurricane, and I had been up all night,
Hold on. What is your first name?
Sharon.
Sharon, and where are you?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida. So you've been through a hurricane.
Yeah. And so I had laid down finally that morning, you know, to get some sleep, and so I woke up. And my bedroom door was shut, and all of a sudden I look, and it's like I have some clothes hanging on the back of it, and somebody was pulling the dress away from the door like they were looking at it. This is what was really strange.
Huh.
And so anyway, later I went into the washroom. I was going to decide to do some clothes, and so do some wash. And so I opened the washer, and there inside the washer was three stems of leather leaf fern inside my washing machine.
Really?
And I'm saying, oh my God, then I knew what had happened. My mother was a real dress nut. She used to make us dresses all the time when we were young.
Yes.
And so she was a fernery. She had started the leather leaf fern business. And so anyway, I have her fern here.
Huh.
And so I think is what she was trying to let me know, that it was her that was here with me during the storm. You know what I'm saying?
Got it. Yes.
And then another incident, my husband had gone up on the roof after a hurricane one year. And so when he was trying to come back off the roof, the ladder was there, but the ladder kept moving back and forth. And so he couldn't figure out what was making the ladder move. And so anyway, he starts to come down, and he falls backwards. And he hits the tree and comes down the concrete and hits his head, cracks his whole head open. And anyway, we end up getting him on rescue. He dies on the way to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
He's dead for about an hour. He comes back. And anyway, we find out later this girl had come to the house to visit, and she brought a friend of hers with her, and she happened to be from the Cherokee tribe. Anyway, she was psychic. And she said, there's somebody in this house. There's a spirit in this house. And so she goes to start to me. She said, there was an accident not too long ago. And I said, yeah. She said,
wait a minute, slow. You don't die hour.
He was dead for an hour, and he came back. He was sent back.
No, you don't.
Yeah, he was. They verified. I mean, I heard on the radio, if they were lifting off with the helicopter, I was in the office there in Mercy.
Saying that he was declared dead?
Yeah, he was declared. Yeah, they said patient just died. And so I went back later, and they said he was dead for right at an hour on the way to the hospital, all the way from where we were at. They had to go to another place because it was stormy. They had to go to another place.
Well, that alone is just absolutely astounding.
Well, I know it's happened to a lot of people I know, but anyway, she was telling me, she said, well, I'm going to tell you who this was or why this accident happened. And she starts to describe this young man, and then she tells us that it was my brother-in-law. He was trying to warn my husband not to get on the ladder because my husband didn't notice he put the wrong end of the ladder down. He had the rounded end instead of the flat end.
Oh.
He was trying to warn him not to get on the ladder.
And that's why the ladder was shaking.
Yeah. And so anyway, he said Jim was trying to save his life. That's my brother-in-law.
Got it.
And so anyway, then she says, Paula, he's standing right behind you. We were sitting at the counter in the kitchen and in the sink and all that's right behind me. And she said, Paula, as she described, she never even knew, she described him to a T. He was standing there making himself coffee right behind me. And I went, oh, my God. And so then another incident happened with my father-in-law. And my grandchildren were here, and one of them turns around and looks out the window and says, who's that old man walking across the yard to the shed? And so I went, oh, my God. So I showed her a picture. I said, is this him? She said, yeah, that was my father-in-law. And, I mean, we've had so many incidents. Like my grandchild, he showed up after he passed away.
All right. Well, it seems to, thank you very much, run in the family then. Anybody out there watching the show Medium? It's kind of interesting, actually. I believe they ran three in a row this night. It's the story of Alison Dubois. Alison Dubois lives down in Phoenix. She's a real person. I'm trying to get an interview with her, by the way. I'm working on that. Even if I have to do it during the day and tape it or something. God, I really want to interview Alison Dubois. But in the show Medium, she frequently has what you just heard, encounters actually seeing a person who is dead in trying to resolve some kind of situation, ongoing tragic murder or something associated generally with crime, because she works for the district attorney. Anyway, it's a pretty good show. So if you haven't seen Medium, it's something you might want to check out. And I certainly would be interested in interviewing Mrs. Dubois. Can you imagine that? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Debbie in Sutherland, Oregon.
Hello, Debbie. You're going to have to speak up and yell at us. You're not too loud. So
okay,
get real close
better?
To... Oh, that's much better.
Okay, this is my shape-shifting. Could be ghostly, could be not.
It's okay.
About 1 o'clock in the morning, I stepped out on the front porch to put some dry food out for the cat.
Right.
And evidently I scared some kind of a creature that was eating off the porch. And when I got out there and shut the door, it was down at the bottom of the stairs on the driveway. Now,
what kind of creature? I mean, how much of a description?
Well, it was small, round, didn't see any legs, couldn't see its face. It didn't turn around. It had long brown hair that hung to the ground. And it started to move, and it waddled as fast as it could, which wasn't very fast.
Waddled.
It really didn't have any legs. It was kind of waddling, and as it moved down the driveway, it started to grow, get taller, and the brown hair was gone. It became short hair, dark hair. The legs grew as it went down the driveway. It wasn't making a sound, and I thought, as it's going down, I'm thinking, raccoons? No. It gets to the end of the driveway, and it's tall like a deer, and I think deer. It runs across the street. It's not making a sound. It clears the sidewalk across the street with 1 foot. At that point, I heard a hoof print.
A hoof print.
A hoof print.
So we're talking about some kind of shape-shifting
creature.
Ah.
It ran across the lawn, the front lawn of the people across the street. They also have a concrete patio right after the lawn. At that point, it made no noise as it went across this patio. At that point, I could see that it was growing long black hair, and it was running, and it was flowing out behind it.
Wow.
I watched it until it got all the way past all their lights. The street was well lit.
Just let me stop you long enough to ask, you actually could visually see the hair growing?
Yes. I saw everything from the bottom of my porch to the end of the driveway to the one hoof print on the sidewalk, cleared the lawn, made no noise. It was going across their patio, and it started to grow long hair, black long hair that flowed out from behind it.
That's straight out of some kind of movie.
I don't know, and I watched it until it went into the darkness. Now, I had my porch light on. We have a street light out in front of the house. People across the street have their porch light on, which was unusual for 1 in the morning. We live in a cul-de-sac. The street's not very wide. At the end of the cul-de-sac, a creek runs through there. The people at the end have a nice creek through their backyard.
A creek runs through it.
Yeah, so it ran into the darkness. A couple of days later, I went over to the lady that lives in the cul-de-sac, and I went in and I sat down and I told her all the thing, and she sat there and stared out the window for a moment, and she said, well, I guess things happen. And she thought for another moment and said that she sees all kinds of animals come up from the creek all the time, and most of them she can identify. She sees a creature out there one day that looks kind of like a deer, but not really, and she expects...
So she saw the same thing you saw.
Yeah, she expects to see, like, little deer droppings on the ground, but when she goes out to look, it's big piles of stuff, like from a large animal.
We'll have to call them shape-shifter droppings. Great. That's like straight out of a movie or something, isn't it? This is Ghost to Ghost AM, 2005 style, from the high desert in the middle of the night. I'm Art Bell. Stay right there.